Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I am your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to an extra special hell this week.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, man.
If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week, welcome back. Thank you guys for joining us either way. Thank you for being here with us to
share in our pain,
watch and relive these tales in painful and excruciating detail.
This one was
especially painful. Thank you guys for all of your reviews on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for your Patreon donations. Thank you for being you. Last week, we watched the wonderful movie Mr. Right with Anna Kendrick and Sam Rockwell.
I thought that was bad. And then this happened.
This week, we watched The Bounty Hunter.
Oh, my God.
In 2010. It's an hour 50. That's not great.
No, that was the other thing, too. It wasn't even short. At least the other, what, Coyote Ugly was like an hour 36. I'm like, I can live with this.
But
this
I will tell you, there was no fat on this movie. It was just all garbage.
It was all garbage. Yeah. It was a lean, mean,
it was a very lean,
machine.
Yeah, lean, mean garbage machine.
This was.
Starring Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler. The IMDb description.
Nice. Still getting it right every week. Good job.
I'm really practicing.
Way to go.
A bounty hunter learns that his next target is his ex-wife, a reporter, working on a murder cover-up. Soon after their reunion, the always at odds duo find themselves on a run for their lives adventure.
Oh, boy.
That whole thing is a mess. It's like two run-on sentences, but also two incomplete sentences.
Well, this was a... This movie came out, what was it, like 2008?
10.
Okay, this movie was around the time I remember because I was like writing screenplays, and this was the type of movie that was exactly what everybody wanted.
Yeah.
Because it's the log line has conflict in it.
Yeah.
He's a bounty hunter, and he has to take in his ex-wife. And there's all the I mean, it's all right. You can see the poster from the line. It didn't matter how terrible it was, and then you get shit like this.
James.
Thanks, Hollywood.
Thanks for bringing up the taglines. Yes, I will tell you the taglines.
Kill me.
The taglines. There's two of them. One of them was obviously like this, you know, December or whatever, so it was down.
Yeah.
But okay, the first tagline. It's a job. It isn't personal. Well, maybe a little. Dot, dot, dot. Like,
this whole thing. Okay. This is...
And then the second tagline, James, I think you're really going to like this one.
Oh God, please tell me how they tried to market this piece of shit other than just, look, there's these two. Don't you find these two attractive?
Let the X games begin. X, like EX. Like, you know, like ex-husband and ex-wife, which is what Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler.
You know what? Those taglines represent the level of comedy in this movie, though. They really do. This movie, I'm reading this book about this guy who's in prison, right? And it's very interesting. And in this book, he talks to this one guy who describes getting jumped and beaten by a gang of white supremacists. And it sounds exactly like watching this fucking movie with comedy. It's like getting kicked in the teeth by skinheads, but with terrible jokes.
It's really bad.
And
if
there's
you've
like
seen
music
this movie.
In the background.
There were so many people who commented.
My head is buzzing.
Yesterday we posted that we are going to watch this movie.
Yeah.
There were so many people that were like, I love that movie.
What is wrong with you?
Just a quick question. Wellness check
what
on
did
you.
What did you hit your head on? What did you hit your head on? What?
Let it all out.
Complaints Monday
on Instagram. You should tell me your complaints. Yeah. Tell me about your woes. What's happening? Maybe I can help you.
If you like it like The Room, you know what? I can maybe get with you a little bit because you could watch this movie and be like, holy shit, it's so... But it's not even fun bad.
No, it's just not even a fun bad
movie. It makes you angry.
It
It's cynical.
It brings out a certain anger that I didn't know that I had.
Yeah,
and I don't want
does.
To get to know.
It's a cynical writer. Or yeah. cynical people wrote this movie.
I
who
want
were just
to know.
Like, people are stupid. Here, feed them with your hands.
There's a lot of good actors, a good comedic
That's the
actors
problem.
In this movie,
yeah.
and I want to know what they got out of it. Like, was it a fat paycheck. Or was it like that they got a role in a different yeah, movie that no. they wanted, which is also a fat paycheck?
This,
I'm not sure. Holla at me, though.
This movie was well funded.
Yes.
You could tell by A, the music that was
yeah,
in
the
it.
The soundtrack
was tons
was
of
all, throughout.
Current pop songs and a Frank Sinatra tune. Of course, one of the ones that's like, I think I've maybe heard it once ever.
Yeah.
Not one of your more popular ones, a little less cost.
Yeah.
But Sinatra tunes are expensive. I get it. If
yeah.
you want to play Summer Wind, that's going to cost you $1 million.
Yeah.
But, so I get that. But they had money, clearly.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. This film had everything that it could possibly have to succeed.
It had a great budget.
Except people who wanted to not treat you like children.
Yeah.
That's the only thing it lacked, was writers who didn't treat you like a child.
Yes.
It
so
sucks.
Let's just get right into it. Because
please.
That's what this movie did. Okay. There was no subtext, only text. They literally, like in some of the dialogue pieces, it's like, this is what I'm doing now.
They might as well
yeah.
turn to the camera and say it.
Do
get
you
it?
Understand do you what I'm doing?
Do you get the premise?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to move on. All right, act two. Let's
yeah.
go. Like, he literally, at one point, he almost says, like, that's my goal for act three.
Yeah.
All right, move. Like,
yeah.
It's like, guys, I want to punch these people.
It's bananas.
All
so
of them.
So we start the movie off, and we're driving with Gerard Butler. You know, that's exactly where we don't want to be. We're
oh,
in,
is this
you
the
know.
Credit sequence?
Yeah, because
yeah, yeah.
the credit sequence was like 4 seconds long, and then it's just, you're boom, right in the
yeah.
right in the car with Gerard Butler.
It's with pause.
Car is smoking yeah. and he's doing his best impression of not being from a different country. Like, his New York accent is so bad. And I get it that not everybody's good at accent
no.
work, but like,
why are you the lead of a movie then?
I'd rather him not.
How many people in this country can do a New York
yeah.
accent?
How many, not many.
How many actors in this country?
To,
a lot. There's a million actors in New York. A lot of them are from there. Pick one of them.
But,
why are you picking one guy who does? His accent is baffling.
Yeah.
Sometimes he sounds like exactly what he is. Sometimes
yeah.
sometimes he sounds vaguely East Coast-ish. Sometimes it just sounds like a flat American.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell he's trying to do.
We could believe that he was from a different country and, you know,
that would be fine.
Immigrated to this country. Fine.
There's so much
or,
exposition
like,
in this movie.
Yeah.
He could have said, I got here when I was six.
Yeah.
That would have been fine. No one
yeah,
would have fucking
exactly.
questioned it. It would have been fine.
I would have gone along with it because it's
Jesus.
Not like we don't have people from Scotland in our country.
Yeah.
So I'd have been like, oh, okay. But instead it's like he has to sound like he's from like Ohio and he's like, I'm going to go bowling later with the guys. What?
It's so weird that it's almost like you, when I'm watching it, I'm almost, I think it's like the character is
yeah.
putting on a fake accent.
That's what I mean.
Like, and it's
like,
bad.
He's doing like a disguise.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm,
it's
yeah.
not good.
It's,
but,
I'm
yeah.
like, oh, this character is faking being from New York for some reason.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, that's just Gerard Butler in this movie. He's
yeah.
just a terrible actor
yeah.
with this accent. It's awful.
And we could talk about this for 3 hours
yeah.
because we don't want to talk about this movie.
Sorry,
so
yeah,
we will.
The plot, it doesn't even matter.
Well, we will pepper in our comments about Gerard Butler's accent choices.
Jesus, and
the
also
car,
wasted actors.
Yeah, the car is smoking. Somehow Jennifer Aniston pops out of the trunk of the car. Gerard Butler chases her down, and it's these like very stupid like little
yeah.
Chirons, like ex-wife, ex-husband.
It's like a Batman thing, like
yeah.
a Batman fight, like
yeah.
where they pause with
it's,
the. It's,
you
it's
you
strange.
Immediately know what this movie is about just from that. Little sequence, you're like,
yeah.
oh boy, this is gonna suck.
And it's one of those things where it sounds cool
yeah.
on paper, but then when you look at it, you're
bum,
like,
bum, bum, bum.
She's in a trunk,
yeah,
okay, by herself. No one else is in this trunk. She lit a fucking safety flare alone in a trunk, assuming that he would pull over when he saw smoke and let her out, which
yeah.
is what he did. What if he drove 30 more seconds? He pulls over and she's a fucking corpse from smoke
that's
inhalation
what I mean.
In the trunk.
Yeah.
And she pops out fine, too.
Yeah.
She's been in a trunk that's got smoke pouring out of the back. It's not okay. She
yeah.
hasn't breathed a breath in at least 2 minutes.
Exactly.
And no problem. She should be an Olympic swimmer in this fucking movie.
Yeah, she
I
does.
Hate, this is my notes. I'm crumpling them. I just
my
hate
notes.
This movie. It's going to be all hatred from now on.
So then it says that we're going to be flashing back to earlier where we see Gerard. I don't know. I thought that it said 1 year, but then at the end of the movie, I was like, oh, did this all take place over a weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is
so
like a 3 day.
I just put flashback to earlier as like a retroactive edit, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it.
It doesn't matter.
Gerard Butler is at a parade, and this is actually the moment when you're like, okay. I know what this is going to be about. He's very clever and, you know, like, whatever.
But he's also a meathead.
Yeah, he's trying to, you know, there's this bigger guy that comes up to him and he's like, you owe money to my boss. And he's like, let me talk about this. And, like, chases down this guy and still dressed as Uncle Sam.
He beats him up in the middle of a parade.
He
sets the guinea float on fire.
They're doing this whole chase scene and they're doing that. The song that's playing over this is that somebody call 911. Shorty fire burning on the dance floor.
One of the first of just such a long line of pop songs. They assault you with pop songs.
Yes, we get assaulted. But the chase ends in front of a van full of New York Police Department cops.
Yeah.
And
he chases a guy in an Uncle Sam costume with
on stilts.
Two-story tall stilts on, and the guy's running.
And this is where I first wrote that Gerard Butler's New York accent is an effort.
It's questionable, we'll put it that way.
Gerard and Uncle Sam both get arrested. Remember, he's chasing down the Uncle Sam guy. And now we're at Jennifer Aniston's work. Okay, so everything, like I said, this is a lean, mean garbage machine. All the cuts are fast, and you're almost like being slapped. You're like being paintbrushed. You're like, God, we're back here.
Oh, Jesus. Jokes. Okay. There's so many chases in this movie.
So many.
I cannot describe how often people are chasing other humans. It's fucking insane.
I think that they were trying to be like, listen, we're like an action movie, a romance movie, a comedy movie. We're the complete package.
We're the complete date movie.
Yeah.
Because this movie was made for 30-year-old people in 2010 to go out on dates to. This is exactly what this movie was made for.
Oh, my God.
All the music is from it. It's so pandering. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Did you go on a date to this movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
This movie sucks.
So, Jennifer Aniston's work, her mugshot is prominently displayed
date
on her
with
computer
a
monitor.
Suicide. Date with a fucking noose.
We will get to a suicide in this movie. Her mugshot is prominently displayed on her computer monitor. She's got court tomorrow. You understand that she's a reporter because everybody's like, I need that story about the suicide.
She's a hard-boiled reporter.
That's what we need to set up. It's like a bounty hunter and like a reporter who's kind of crafty, but...
What does that sound like? It sounds like it's from 40 years ago, doesn't it? All of these movies are just recycled something on a shelf from 1979, and we'll put a Katy Perry song in it. It'll
be
fine.
It's also like Lethal Weapon. Perry was in it.
It's Lethal Weapon. It's Bird on a Wire.
It's Beverly Hills Cop.
There is like almost shot for shot Beverly Hills Cop remakes at the end of it. With 12 minutes left in the movie, it turns into Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going to jump ahead.
An exact replica.
But it's like literally shot for shot. Yeah. It's the same dialogue almost. It's fucking insane. It's part like they try to be like I said, it's like Bird on a Wire, that Mel Gibson Goldie on, we're running, will they, won't they, horse shit. That's what they're trying to recreate. It sucks.
It really sucks. She's got court tomorrow. Jason Sudeikis, the first of many comedic actors who has been wronged by this movie.
Been wronged.
Jason Sudeikis is one of Jennifer Aniston's co-workers. They have... Huge mustache.
For some reason.
Like a push broom. Yeah. But they have at one point made out in their lives.
At
the Christmas party. And Jennifer Aniston's just kind of like, you know, passing him off. Like, who cares? It was just one time that we made out.
Jason Sudeikis
is really, you know, holding on to that.
He wants to do the story together so they can rekindle their romance.
Everybody keeps asking her about the suicide that she's covering. She needs to get the information about the suicide. You got that information about the suicide? What about that suicide story?
Suicides in a city of fucking 8 million people always need to be investigated by a top reporter. That's going to happen.
Jennifer Aniston wants to get away from Jason Sudeikis because he keeps wanting to work on the story with her. And she goes into the ladies' room and she is on the toilet.
You're right about him, too.
Sitting on the toilet.
Yeah. Because he's there too.
Yeah, later. he was there. No, but like, so she's sitting on a toilet in her skirt, and I'm like, well, that's a lot of confidence in a public restroom.
Right?
I would not be sitting on that with my clothes, but
that's fine.
You can still stand in the stall. It's not a big deal. You're making a weird secretive phone call, so you might as well just, you know.
You only sit on a stall at a pure, absolute desperation. Yeah. Nobody does it. Like, just I don't have to go or anything.
What a waste of a bathroom trip. Like,
what
geez,
are you doing?
Yeah, you really take those public restrooms for granted.
She didn't even put a paper thing on
nothing.
It. Nothing.
She's just sitting on it. Jason Sudeikis is oddly. Oh, no. So she's calling the bar. She calls this bar, and she's talking to some bartender. I think his name is Jimmy or something.
Yeah,
like
just
that.
Some younger guy and who's just working at the bar.
Asking him for help with a lead on a story. She's like, can you find out about this? Like, you know, this is what.
Yeah.
And he's like, no problem. And it's all. A lot of the dialogue in this movie is a lot like a Law and Order, like that first, like, third of an episode of Law and Order where you've got Jerry Orbach and he's like.
Goes into a bar with a picture of a girl's, you know, from a college graduation
and like
or something.
Unloading bottles.
This girl?
Yeah. Unloading bottles and like restocking the shelves or like.
Hey, I'm busy here, guy.
Glasses.
I mean, I'd like to help you with that murder and everything, but I'm very busy with my bar.
I saw him the other day. He was looking pretty sad.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he'd go and kill himself over it. Why? Yeah. Did something happen to him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jimmy Q. He's a regular. Yeah. No.
I don't know. The other day, he looked pretty depressed. But, you know, blah, blah. Why? Did something happen to him, boss? Yeah. But
it's,
whatever. It's fine.
So painful.
So Jennifer Aniston goes up to a rooftop.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but they never explain what this Jimmy the bar back who has all this information that a New York Times like a reporter can't get her hands on herself.
Yeah.
We never understand. It's never explained why he's such an insider.
And what are the.
Never.
Yeah.
Like, never why, explained.
Like, where did
Who
you get
is
this
he?
Lead? Is this like a secret lead? Yeah. Like, is this a bad thing? Are you like doing. Because she's hiding in the bathroom.
Yeah,
like, is she not supposed to call this bartender or is she supposed to follow every.
It's
like, you
all
know what
secretive
I mean?
And then he wants money for a thing. And it's like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
Why would he know something about some crime that happened? He works at a goddamn bar, and he seemed. It's not just like he knows about this one crime. She calls him for the hot tips.
Yeah,
he knows
I was
everything
say,
somehow.
He must be like a like
finger on the pulse of the whole city's underworld. Some dipshit bar back.
So Jennifer Aniston's up on a rooftop, and she's kind of doing some recon for this suicide. Like she's looking. Her mom calls her.
The case she's investigating is whether somebody jumped from a roof and it was a suicide or they were or killed, murdered. That's the whole thing.
And the reason why she doesn't think that the person was he's afraid of heights.
Yeah, so why would he
do it
that
way? Well, if he's depressed and he wants to commit suicide, like that's his, you know, that's his journey, so leave him alone.
That's his journey,
And I didn't even mean that in a bad way.
No, that's her argument,
like,
though. Why would he kill himself that way if he was afraid of heights? Like, okay.
But anyway, her mom calls and her mom is, you know, I can't remember that lady's name, but I love her.
She's
plays
great.
Martha May Huvier in How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
She's in everything.
She's in The Birdcage. She's
Val's mom. She's in The Ref.
She's so good.
The sister-in-law in The Ref, Kevin Spacey's sister-in-law or whatever.
But so she's talking with her mom, and she's like, would you, if you were to jump off a roof, would you jump off of the side with trees or the side that was flat that you'd, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then we hear like, oh, I really wish that you would get back together with your ex-husband. Like, you know,
his accent, something about it. It's
he's just so charming. Anyway,
he's so charming.
We get paintbrush slapped back to the police station.
Oh, God.
Gerard Butler's being bailed out by his friend.
By his friend.
Who, like his old like partner on the police force.
Clearly,
Gerard Butler used to be a police officer, which I will tell you.
And they tell you that clearly. Since you got kicked off the force, every scene is just full of past stuff.
So everybody is always like, telling them like, oh, too bad you guys got divorced. You guys were such a great couple and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they're also talking about how Gerard Butler used to be a police officer.
Yeah.
And watching this movie, you would be surprised that Gerard Butler's character was a police officer.
He's a moron.
Because now that he's not a police officer, he has completely forgotten those skills.
He's forgotten everything that he's ever learned.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
He's just
with
like
everything.
he does the worst job as somebody. Like, I could do better as faking being a police officer. And it's like there's no stakes. It's not even like he wants to be a police officer again and he just got fired because
he's just bounty hunting.
No, he's just like, it's cool. I'm not a police officer anymore.
And they don't even really go into that. At the end, he doesn't like get his badge back or something.
But nobody says anything about his obvious gambling addiction and drinking problem.
Oh, that's just assumed, you know, because it's from.
But everybody's like, you used to be a police officer.
Because it sounds like it's from the 70s. That's what it would be in the 70s. But he's a hard-drinking, hard-boiled detective. And now he's off the force and he's a bounty hunter. And by the way, his friend, Bobby, who turns out to be a pretty major character here, the guy who bails him out, clearly Dave Chappelle just turned this role.
Yeah, they were like,
the words
last
that this man
had to recast it because they thought Dave Chappelle would do it.
The words that this man says is like clearly written for Dave Chappelle. Like they would be coming out of his mouth. So they're like, get a guy who, I don't know, make him sort of, I don't know, that guy kind of looks like Dave. Nah, I mean, he's got the same.
It's fine. Just
head
get him.
Shape, I guess. Like he.
This one's available.
This guy's available. Yeah. It's weird, man. We need a black guy. I think that's what it was, too. Like, there's we're in New York City, and somehow there's not
only
a,
white cops.
Not a white cops, white everybody. There's no, again, like we've said how many times with romantic comedies, they just like, let's take a major urban area and make it so no black people live there.
Yeah.
You know, New York,
wild.
Philly, LA, everywhere, every place where you go.
It's wild.
Chock full of black people. This movie, especially, we need a black guy. We'll make it. Here's the one black guy.
So
that's
now, since he's been bailed out by his friend Bobby, Gerard Butler and Bobby are at a diner and
they're
Gerard
discussing
Butler
how
is,
hard it is to be the one black man in New York City. It's very difficult. He's lonely.
How,
he said it's just wants to,
you know, getting his
talk
job.
About black guy stuff with somebody else and nobody's available. Sorry.
James
so
keeps
stupid.
Getting like he
it's
just
so
wants
stupid.
To go on all these tangents
it's
and
just
I'm
so
trying
I'm sorry.
To just talk about what matters.
You're
which
doing
is Gerard Butler
God's work.
Putting way too much Tapatio on his fucking tacos.
You're right.
I was like, there's
I'm
no
so
way that would totally not burn your butt on the way out.
It's okay when
oh
he bit it, what happened?
Oh my god. When he bit it, it just was like leaking Tapatio. I'm
it
like, oh my
it
god.
Shot out like
and
a Bukkake film.
Question,
it was just like
oh,
it got distance.
Another question is who's eating tacos at a fucking diner?
That's the question.
Get a fucking burger.
Thank you. Soft tacos.
Yeah, he's just eating, like getting some DIY tacos going.
Yeah. And
I'm
at
like,
some
what the
diner,
hell?
Some like dive diner
and
in New York City.
They need to take that Tapatio away from him.
Yeah, he used like half the bottle. Like in my experience, places like that would have yelled at him for. They'd have banged on the counter. Hey, asshole, quit wasting our fucking hot sauce.
You know what?
What?
Maybe that's like part of his adrenaline thing.
Oh, hot.
He's like, oh, I like my tacos to be extra hot.
The cayenne gets the blood flow.
I have a gambling problem. I like, you know,
he
likes to just take everything to the edge.
Ooh, I like it hot.
Yeah.
He's just
too much Tapatio. Not good, man. That seemed like it was going to hurt going in and coming out.
Oh, you're right.
You think that he would be, but he's so seasoned to it. You know why? Because he's from New York. And everybody knows that cops, former cops from
New York
who are currently bounty hunters fucking cannot get enough of Tapatio.
They know that in their soft tacos.
Yeah.
Of course.
And also, the goal of eating a taco is for nothing to be dripping out of it.
Oh, he didn't tilt his head at all.
It was like diarrhea.
He just picked it up and put it in his mouth, and it wasn't diarrhea. I think my Bukkake analogy was pretty clear.
Some recognition.
I think
for that.
I nailed it. It looked like the devil's jizz shot out. That's what it looked like. It's just this red stream.
Gross.
It was Satan's jizz coming for you.
Yeah. So we're paintbrush slapped back to court with Jennifer Aniston. She's talking to her lawyer, and she's like, "Oh no, I have to take this phone call." And he's like, "Well, you need to be in the courtroom
in 4 minutes."
And he's like, and you better be in there when they call your case. And she's like, oh, I need to take this phone call. So she gets a phone call. It's the bartender.
It's Jimmy.
And he's like, hey, man, you need to meet me at this Dunkin' Donuts and you need to bring $500.
And $500.
Yeah, $500. Click. And I got some information and blah, blah. And you're like, oh, no. Like,
yeah.
What's happening?
What do we do?
What could rile a bartender up?
30 minutes or I'll give the story to somebody else. That's
bartenders have to view. I used to be a bartender. They have a view to so much weirdness.
Yeah.
Okay. Like There's been of times where you like see somebody that you know is married and they're hitting on somebody else at the bar who's also married and they're like planning a hookup and you're like, nah, like you see so much weird shit that you're not like, oh my God, $500, you better bring it to Dunkin' Donuts now. Like, what's happening?
What is going on? Yeah. Okay. Don't you get tipped out, dude?
Yeah.
What the fuck
like,
are you doing?
Just like, it's, if you're asking a bartender there, it's almost like, wow, dude, I wasn't even paying attention because I've had 800 million other things to do. So I don't know, that guy, I guess, maybe like,
no, this guy knows everything that's going on
but
in the underworld.
She asked him like it was like Kima asking Bubs.
Yeah, that's like, what. Hey, yeah, this is her like underground
like,
ear.
Like he's so
in debt.
You know, so because Kima gave Bubs like $20.
Well, Bubs,
so
it made sense. Bubs was a crackhead who's been walking around West Baltimore. This is a Wire reference, by the way. Walking around West Baltimore for the last 20 years on the streets, knowing who's got the best package,
don't even tell
who's
them.
Fighting who. He knows all this shit. Yeah. These people.
But he's only
getting
that $20
because
he has integrity.
Yeah, we have no way of knowing why Jimmy knows
why he's so
high
beholden.
Level has this high level information,
and why Jennifer Aniston is like, you better find out that information. For
yeah,
me.
I need it.
But like,
why Jimmy?
Don't tell them that it's The Wire. It's fine. Let them go on on the journey of the fanciful tale of Bubbles in West Baltimore and see if they're like, that sounds fun. I want to watch.
You know
that.
What? You're right. Go fuck yourselves. Watch The Wire or don't. There you go.
There you go. Ringing endorsement.
Enjoy.
All right. So she does not go in for her court hearing. So she, no bail.
Yeah. They,
no
the
bail for
the judge
her.
Is angry.
Her bail has been revoked.
Oh, I have my gavel. The judge gave a whole, she said, bench warrant will be issued for her. That's it. Case. That was it. Done.
I'm revoking
angry.
Her bail.
Revoking her bail. Yeah, that's it. Bench warrant will be issued.
I'm revoking her bail. The bartender is sitting there at Dunkin' Donuts. His window gets smashed in by somebody and he has been kidnapped.
It's Zed from Pulp Fiction.
It's Dorian from The Mask.
It's Zed from Pulp Fiction.
It's Dorian.
Zed's dead.
He thought he was going to be good enough for Cameron Diaz. Yeah, right.
This guy really
is just
like the Zed character.
He's
too.
Like, but he's also like the worst villain ever.
Oh, he's terrible.
Dumb as fuck.
He's awful at his job.
But yeah,
he's a cop too, it turns out.
That's
so
the thing,
spoiler
alert. He was a former cop and like he's a current villain and he
former cop. He's a current cop and current villain.
But is he a current cop?
He was a current cop.
He's never at work.
He's on the force.
Okay, here. Okay, fine. What does Dorian do? He is a police officer, apparently. He is a bowling league member.
He seems to be good at bowling.
He has a tattoo
owns
parlor.
Owns a tattoo parlor. That seems
also
to be
is very, you know, in the villainous things. Like, that is a busy
He's
man.
A drug dealer, they said. He's a major
he's a drug dealer.
That's what they said later. He's a major drug dealer.
Wow.
He's a cop. And the
a Dave renaissance
Chappelle,
man.
Dave Chappelle says he's a cop and a drug dealer. He spells it out like everything else is. Nothing. No one will watch
Earl?
This movie and say, I didn't understand why. That'll never happen.
No.
Except for, why does Jimmy know this information?
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
Jimmy's the bartender.
Yeah, Jimmy knows nothing.
The villain in this movie, his name is Earl, but he's also Zed and he's also Dorian. And he's also a police officer and a drug dealer. He's a renaissance man.
Yeah.
Okay, but he's really bad at this.
Zorian.
So he, Zadorian.
Zadorian.
He has kidnapped the poor bartender from the Dunkin' Donuts parking lot in broad fucking daylight.
Yeah, Zadorian Earl.
Yeah,
drives
not
away.
Good.
Sounds like an Oscar Wilde book. Zadorian Earl.
Oh.
It's very... Sorry. I'm delirious today. I was out in the heat for a while.
It was 106
degrees
today.
It was hot,
today.
So
okay.
Keep going.
So, just as Jennifer Aniston is arriving... Goodbye, bartender. You have been kidnapped.
Yeah.
Jeff Garlin is here, and we have been slapped in the face again.
I'm happy with Jeff Garlin, and
but
then I'm sad that
they misused him. They've done him wrong.
Yep, another one done wrong.
So
this is what? Guy two?
Yes.
Person two that they've done
Jason
wrong?
Jason Sudeikis, Jeff Garlin. Here's our count
the biggest
here.
Crime is yet to come, too.
Yeah. And he's here to save the film, I can only glean.
He's here to deliver the plot of the film.
Yeah.
He's
Gerard
like, hey,
Butler,
how you doing? Fresh plots here in this bag.
Yeah.
He pulls up. Yeah.
Gerard Butler is sleeping on the couch at the bail bonds place that he is a proprietor
Sid's.
At.
Jeff Garlin is the owner. He's Sid. He owns
Sid's
bail bonds.
Yes, he is Sid, and there is so much clever banter between the two of them. Jeff Garlin tells him that an open bond just came in, and don't worry, I'll just get somebody else. And Gerard Butler's like, hey,
I need the money,
and he does, because he's a gambling problem.
Yeah.
And it's you're like, oh boy, it's probably Jennifer Aniston.
Boom.
And is Jennifer Aniston.
It's the picture.
This is where there's no subtext. There's only text. This is where Gerard Butler tells you exactly what he's going to do. Yeah. He says, so you're telling me.
Because they said, I'm out 50 grand if this girl doesn't get to court. That's the bail.
He needs to pick her up by Monday.
So Jeff Garland tells him.
Gerard Butler says, so you're telling me I will get paid $5,000 to bring my ex-wife in. There's the plot of the movie.
He said, yeah, you're telling me I get $5,000 if I bring her in. And he literally should have turned, broken the fourth wall and went, that's the premise of the movie. Everybody got it?
Is everybody ready?
Let's do this.
Bullshit.
Let's do it, everybody. He owned like a host at a comedy. Who's ready to have some fun?
Yeah. He's you ready for your first plot point?
We're ready for your first plot. Right. Let's
make
do
sure
this.
You fill out your comment cards.
We got drink specials tonight.
Yeah. The lady, she also works at Sid's Bail Bonds. I'm not sure if that's Jeff Garland's wife.
No, because he says things later on. Says, don't tell your mother. And she's
yeah, but
there.
That could have been, you know what? It's fine.
It's the
lady. I love her. She is Edgar's wife in Men in Black. Edgar, your skin is hanging off your bones.
Yeah, she's in
that lady.
Everything.
I love her.
She's
I can't
hilarious.
Remember what her name is. And I just
funny.
Love her. But anyway, she comes out and she gives Gerard Butler a check. And Gerard Butler just starts like making out with her.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's like so happy that he gets
to. Tongue in her mouth.
Forcible tongue in the mouth.
She asks for her gun back.
That is harassment. Yeah, and then she asks for her gun back, which Gerard Butler is not a comedic actor.
They're showing you that's how desirable he is in this movie, that he can just absolutely sexually assault a secretary, and she's like, yeah, that's
Gerard. Yeah, she's like rolling her eyes off, like she's so chuffed off at it, like, ugh, boring.
If you're going to stick it in me, but don't tease.
Yeah, she's looking at him like, I just gave you your check, like, don't. Yeah. Talk to me. Why are you making like, oh, you're doing this again? But anyway, so Gerard Butler goes to Jennifer Aniston's house. He scales the wall, trying to do some physical comedy, which is not good.
Oh, there's so much of that shit in this movie.
His shoes are so dirty. And I'm like, did you like specifically throw dirt on your shoe just to do this? Like this, there's no way your shoe could be that dirty.
It's like he walked across the track at the Kentucky Derby on the way to her living room.
Yeah.
Like, just picked up every bit of horse shit and mud.
Kentucky Derby.
another Oscar Wilde book. The Kentucky Derby.
Okay. We're doing okay, everybody.
No, we're not.
But his shoes are so dirty. He messes up her entire rug.
He breaks into her house.
He's putting her toothbrush in the toilet, which I didn't get that because he absolutely has to reach into the toilet to get the toothbrush
out.
He
does, but she has to put it in her mouth, so...
It's just water. It's not like there was diarrhea
It's clean. It's toilet water.
He should have had diarrhea and then dropped it in there.
If he stuck it up his ass or something, that would have been a thing. If he just jammed it up his asshole and then
the
put it back there.
The most offensive, eating loose Doritos in her bed.
Sir. That's how bad this is comedic-wise. They're like,
he had a bag of Doritos, but he chose to empty it out on the bed and eat them.
Literally, was like, I'll play like college roommate pranks on her.
Yeah.
Like, I'll put her toothbrush in the toilet, then I'll sprinkle chips in her bed.
Yeah.
She's going to have crumbs in her
and
bed.
And then he's like deleting
That'll
the
make
DVR.
Her itchy. Yeah, he's deleting like her. Yeah, he's deleting fucking Grey's Anatomy or whatever the hell bullshit she's watching. Yeah.
So he hears. Reruns. This is not professional behavior for bounty hunters.
No, so. You're not allowed to break into someone's house just because they have a bounty. Police, if they have a warrant, can't break into your house to fucking come get you and wait there for you. That's not how it works.
We don't know the rules. Maybe there's a statute saying if this person is your ex-wife, you're absolutely
you're allowed to
do this.
Bust in and
I'd like
do
to
your
know
thing.
What his contract says.
Yeah, what's and that's the other thing, too.
Not only are you bringing her in to go to jail, but get her bed full of, like... cheese dust.
Just sprinkle a crumb.
I love cheese dust.
The rules of bounty hunting are just nebulous as fuck in this movie too. Like I used to be a process server for a while and like I knew bounty hunters and there's like a ton of rules. And
how much
like
cheese dust
they get arrested constantly because what they're doing is like sort of semi-legal kind of.
And like are
depending
they like
on what they're
all
doing.
Pranksmen?
Like, no, none of them. They're meatheads.
They're
fucking
like
guys.
Doing what Kevin does in a Home Alone.
They're guys who failed the psychological test to be police officers. That's who bounty hunters are for the most part. They're literally guys who have had, like, crazy guys like New Jack, the professional wrestler, was a fucking bounty hunter. They're either lunatics or they're like, I wanted to be a cop, but I failed the psych eval, so I'm doing this because I can still carry a fucking gun.
Yeah.
That's the type of people that bounty hunt.
So they have this gorgeous parallel editing thing where you think that Jennifer Aniston is in her house and that Gerard Butler is going through her house with a gun pointed.
Yeah.
And you think that they are going to, you know, like, but instead, Gerard Butler happens upon Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Aniston has broken into the bartender's house because he has been missing.
She went to Jimmy's house.
She went to the bartender's house. And Jennifer Aniston says to his mom, to the bartender's mom, that she is his girlfriend. And it's so dumb because the mom's like, so you're Lakeisha? And she's like, yes, I'm Lakeisha. I'm named after my aunt.
Cheesy joke. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, gross.
It's such a cheese dick joke.
And then we have some more Law and Order banter.
She couldn't be Lakeisha. Look how white she is.
I think your son is in trouble. What kind of trouble? Blah, blah, blah. But, like, oh, and also she's just like, I think I should call the police.
Yeah, she's like, oh, no.
I mean, I guess if Jennifer Aniston broke in your house, she would be like, sweetie.
Yeah.
Sweetie.
Well, normally, well-dressed, well-to-do, like pretty mid-30s women don't break into your house. So you'd be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
That's not your normal burglar.
Yeah.
That's just, it's not usual there.
So we are back to Gerard Butler and Jason Sudeikis. And Jason Sudeikis is saying Jennifer Aniston hates you. And he's like, I'm the one that hates her.
Yeah.
And then as Jennifer Aniston is, you know, going through everything, because she's like, do you mind if I go through your son's stuff? Because I think he might be missing. And she's like, sure. No, like, follow-up questions like, oh, you think my son's missing? Like, is he okay? Should we call the police?
Hey, knock yourself out,
chief. She's like, yeah, you know, if you want me to make you a tuna sandwich? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
So she finds a coaster in Jace, in the bartender's pocket, and it's so, like, the thing, it's, like, very suspicious writing that's, like, it says, missing evidence depository.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what does...
On a coaster.
Yeah, you're like, what does the puzzle going to reveal to us?
We're going to have to put this whole thing together.
It's
this movie's a mystery.
It's not even fun to try to figure out. You're like, what the fuck does that mean?
Oh, but it's a clue.
Fine.
Who cares?
But it's very suspicious. That's trying to make us believe that this is going to be very scary. Gerard Butler goes to see his ex-mother-in-law at, like, a hotel, but she's like preparing to like do a live performance or something.
I don't know if she's
like rehearsing.
I think this is who I think she is. I think she is Cher from Burlesque.
Oh.
That's what I got out of it. I think
I love her.
I think she's like the
Welcome to
Burlesque. Yeah, she's like, I was hot 40 years ago. Now I'm singing.
Cher looks amazing for her age.
Well, yeah, for 107, she looks great.
She's not 107.
She should have been dead 8-9 years ago. She's past life expectancy, so she looks incredible.
She can turn back time, James.
If she could, she wouldn't be 96 years old, which she is.
So, Jennifer Aniston's mom says, is that you, Milo? Milo, Gerard Butler. And I was surprised that she didn't say, oh, I could tell from your stupid accent. That's not an accent. Because he's like, yeah, it's me.
And oh God.
She says that she misses him. She wants them to get back together. She wants grandkids. She's not sure what happened between them. They were such a perfect match for each other. Ba, 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 ba. Gerard Butler asks where he can find Jennifer Aniston. And she's like, oh, she said that she was going to go test her luck or something like that. And so he's like, at the racetrack.
Everybody always leaves just enough clue behind.
Yeah.
For like, there's always that. The tattoo is
just
enough.
She said she was trying to, you know, everything's very like.
Just enough.
Yeah.
Here's just enough info that you can go to the next step. Otherwise, there's no clue. And he's like, what's he going to do? Go sit down and eat
like
a sandwich?
This movie tried to be so dumb.
Yeah.
That it would make you just be like, oh, like, you know, like, look at that. Like,
I hope
we could follow along at home.
You could follow along at home if you were in a coma.
Gerard Butler has found Jennifer Aniston, and there's clever banter. You know, he's like, hi, hello, how are you? I'm not a police officer anymore. I am a bounty hunter. I ate loose Doritos in your bed. I have to take you to jail now. And then she's like, oh, no, thank you. I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah, she's like, no, and thank you.
Like, she's just like, no, that's okay.
I'm not going to be going.
I have to cover the suicide case. And that's why I'm at this racetrack and this horse racetrack. And it's just like, she's just, no, thank you. Like I can say no, thank you. I'm not going to prison to any bounty hunter,
and especially
because you're my ex-husband. Sorry,
he's not. He doesn't have like a police detective badge around his neck or something like this. He's pointing guns at a line of cab drivers.
Yeah.
He's pointing a gun at each cab driver as she goes to get in the cab.
I will tell you this. Gerard Butler, okay, so he may not be on the police force, and he may have just like completely been scrubbed clean of all police knowledge that he has. But it feels like, I think that they said that he's only just started to be a bounty hunter.
Yeah, he's pretty new
at it. But he's the best at it.
He's the best.
He gives her a 10-second head start when she's running away from him.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the farce.
Just for old time's sake. Yeah. And he's always like, he's in front of her with like a bag of popcorn, and she's like, oh, you know, and like running away. He's like toying with her.
She runs away, and she's like, oh, I think I lost him.
And then she's trying to call cabs.
He'll be in front of her like,
he's like, I'm going to shoot a cab driver, and none of them are going to let her in. Then she's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He picks her up, stuffs her in the trunk.
He picks up a screaming white woman in the middle of a crowd and deposits her
into the trunk
of an old car, and nobody looks twice.
No.
Nobody says a fucking word about this situation.
That's their problem, I guess.
That's a little unrealistic, I feel like. Why are you putting that? She's like a famous reporter.
Yeah.
Why are you putting that New York Times reporter whose picture I see in her fucking byline three times a week in the trunk of your car?
You're wearing a plaid shirt and you...
you're armed.
What? Yeah.
That's not police procedure to stuff a suspect in the trunk of the car uncuffed, I don't think. So that's
and that's the other thing, is it's like, this is not ethical. This is not professional. This is not what professional bounty hunters
should
do.
But he's trying to give her a little...
I think that some of his pay should be docked for the cheese dust, the DVR.
Possibly.
The DVR deletions.
Yeah.
And then also stuffing her in the trunk.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
Like worth at least $1,200.
Something. Yeah, I get you. Not all of it, but a piece.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, garnish a little bit of his wages. But it's fine. So
this is when everyone starts bickering.
Everything's bickering. The villains are bickering. Police people are bickering. They're bickering.
Yeah.
Everybody's bickering.
Everyone in this whole movie turns into Frank and Estelle Costanza. Like, when someone picks up the phone, I half expect someone to go, Frank Costanza. Like, that's how...
We're moving to Del Boca Vista. I'm taking you to the prison. Lock, stock, and barrel.
We're moving into Del Boca Vista. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Everybody in this movie turns into like a weird sitcom character.
Especially Zadorian. So Zadorian, now we're at a tattoo shop, and the bartender just has duct tape like over his mouth. And Zadorian has like a tattoo gun. And it's just a tattoo gun. And he's like threatening the bartender with it.
He threatens to tattoo snitch on his eyelids.
Oh.
He says, I'll tattoo snitch on your eyelids. That'll look good.
Yeah.
Or I got a better idea. How about dead snitch? And that's when he's like, oh, I'll talk. And he starts giving up Jennifer Aniston's information.
But the funny thing is, this is like your eyelid skin, like it would not stay on there for very long.
No.
You're always like.
I don't know what the physics behind tattoos are and how easily they come off.
Yeah.
But you see crazy people in like mugshots with eyelid.
Who cares?
Tattoos.
Go ahead, tattoo my eyelids.
Well, I'm sure that he wouldn't have done it gently,
like,
I don't think.
Oh, I'm going to inject you with poison, then yeah. But other than that, like, sorry, is your punishment I get a tattoo? Fine, sounds good.
I'm not going to put a new thing on it. How's that? You're going to get hepatitis from the last person.
Yeah,
then
Gerard, probably from that place.
This is a slow burn is what we're going for here. This is the kind of gangsters we are. Slow burn gangsters.
Yeah.
You know
we're just going to really inconvenience you with a stupid tattoo.
That's what I'm going to.
That you probably already have 12 of them.
I'm going to take all your long term investments and move them around and take money out of your CDs and just
rearrange your furniture. And I'm going to only leave one thing a little bit askew.
You're going to get so many 401k penalties for early withdrawal.
Did that picture always tilt like that?
Was it always
or was
there?
It because I moved it?
Was there an earthquake?
Gerard Butler calls. the lady who works at Sid's bail bonds, and he tells her that he wants to get paid a bonus for bringing Jennifer Aniston in early.
Oh, she's all wrapped up. Movie's done.
Yeah.
24
he's
minutes.
Like, I have her. I want a bonus for it, which, by the way, I think he should not get a bonus. Again, I think he should have garnished wages.
Yeah.
I think he's not being professional. No, she's just like, no, that's not how it works. Zadorian has the bartender guy. No. Yeah. So Zadorian has the bartender guy at gunpoint, and he's like, you know, tell her to, you know, like, yeah, nothing suspicious here. He's like, nope, I'm cool. I'm totally fine. Had to go meet my friend and help him out with something.
Yeah,
and
didn't get kidnapped from the Dunkin' Donuts or anything.
And I loved how she's calling him from the trunk of the car, or she's talking to him from the trunk of the car. And he's like, are you in a closet?
Yeah, you sound like you're in a closet.
So, so that we're supposed to totally believe this. And then the fat guy from the parade, that Gerard Butler beat the hell out of.
He's wearing a Charles Woodson Raiders jersey the whole movie.
Now he's back, and we are in some house that I'm not sure with Kathy Moriarty or the Kerrigan lady from Casper. And they're definitely trying to go for like a Mama Fratelli.
Oh, it's an absolute Goonies.
They're trying to Pantaleano, go for a
Robert
Fratelli,
Davi knockoff.
Like, you know, that the guys are like, the boss is going to be pissed because Gerard Butler owes them $11,000.
Gambling debts.
And then here comes Kerrigan. Fratelli. Yeah,
oh.
She's, you know.
Irene is her name.
And she's bossing everybody around.
Yeah, she's the boss. Break his leg. Yeah, she
it
tells
was offensive to all of my senses.
This is where the movie, I'm gonna stop for 1 second, because this is where the movie turns into like a fucking stew for me. At this point in the movie, I don't know what comes before what, after what. It's a big muddled, it's just one muddled stupid
now.
Obstacle overcome and bullshit little chase scene after another. And it's just like, then he goes here and then they chase him and then he stops. They talk for 2 minutes and they go here and they chase him. It's the same fucking thing like over and over and over and over again.
You get into like a pattern and then you're just kind of like hypnotized by their bullshit.
Chase and then heart, because they'll have a little piano scene where they talk and then jokes and then chase and then heart and then jokes and then chase and then heart and then jokes and then blow your fucking brains out all over the wall.
That's the real suicide that they're solving.
Chase and then heart and then jokes. So, hey.
Mama Fratelli says to the bigger guy, like, oh my God, what happened to you? And he's like, I got punched by Milo Boyd, which is Gerard Butler's name. And like, I know his whole name. And then somehow there's somebody in there that like looks up Milo Boyd in their like weird gambling debt collection office database.
They have like a
like,
big Mac set up
guy,
on the desk.
He used to be, it's like their own police station there.
Yeah.
But then he's like, oh, Milo Boyd used to be a police officer and he owes $11,000.
Hasn't paid a penny in months.
Yeah,
like they have his
Scorpio.
Yeah,
like what
they
the fuck?
Have his whole file like on there. Like so if you get raided, what happens? They have everything on your hard drive. Like
that's what I'm saying.
Well, it's not
bookie, which is illegal.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh no, don't touch my computer that has all
they
this
got,
information.
Like, an IT guy there having to set up their system and shit. We really need an intranet structure of an inter. Kill me.
People will believe this, right?
Yeah, this is true, right?
No,
this
they
looks
probably
like
have
a
everything
real thing.
Written down on a piece of paper, not on the fucking computer. Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler stop and get gas. They have like a weird sentimental conversation. They're driving through Atlantic City.
With full-on piano music in the background.
Well, yeah, every moment is
it's like Crime and Sports in their own words music, if you listen to that. If you listen to Crime and Sports, that's what it is.
Yeah, it really is.
It's real, like, heart-wrenching.
They're like bickering back and forth. The writers really want us to know that they can push each other's buttons.
Oof, yeah.
And that they really need to hash out some of their issues.
Clearly.
And but like the
if nothing else, they have issues to hash.
So now we go to this next scene, and like this is where we get to like even the bad guys are bickering, right? Because
one
the guy who was on like the computer who's like, hey boss, this guy owes us $11,000.
Hey.
And he, you know, like whatever. And
he's dancing.
He talks shit to the the bigger one forget, and he's like, oh, you have terrible cardiac health and you're really bad at this. Like, he's on a cell phone.
On the phone.
And it's just like, hey, dude, you're supposed to be like really inconspicuous.
Yeah, like, but they're having
instead,
like,
he's like arguing about being a bad guy.
It's wannabe Pulp Fiction dialogue at that point. That's when it's wannabe Pulp Fiction, when he's like, really, I'm worried about your cardio health. He's like, I'm in shape. What are you talking about? He's like, well, how do I know if you're going to be able to move quickly when I need you to be, because you're not
you're
in great
gonna
shape.
You're going to get me killed.
And he's like, I'm fast enough. Plenty fast. I'm like, what is going on? This is not necessary.
Yeah.
It's just not needed in this movie. This movie didn't have to be an hour and fucking 50.
This movie didn't have to be.
It could have been 50.
Maybe.
I would have still
Jennifer Aniston challenges Gerard Butler to gamble her $500 cash that she had to pay the bartender for the information.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is sick. You're appealing to his gambling problem that
he has.
She's
trying to get freed. She's like, you could turn it into $5,000, $10,000 and just let me go. You don't need that $5,000.
Yeah.
That was her whole attack.
And they do, you know, they rekindle their, you know, where Jennifer Aniston blows on his dice, playing craps, and they're a whole team.
And he's up like $8,000.
Jason Sudeikis has been following them the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Forgot
about
that.
And he's like trying to get Jennifer Aniston out of the trunk of the car because he finds the car. And by the way, this is like a giant, like, old car with the, it's very recognizable.
It's the most conspicuous car. It's a Delta, was it a Delta 80? Oldsmobile Delta 88. It's about 46
it's
feet long, and it's light blue. You can see this fucking thing from a satellite in space. It's
so
conspicuous.
He tries to get Jennifer Aniston out of the trunk. He sees that she's not in there, and then one of the bad guys comes up to him, knocks him out, takes him as a kidnapped person.
Yeah.
Back to Mama Fatalia's with you, Jason Sudeikis. Ugh. So he's up $8,000, and I don't know why he didn't just try to get $8,000 and then pay off some of his debt to Mama Fratelli, because, you know, $0 is better than -11.
Here's $8,000.
Yeah.
That'll buy me a couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
Terrific.
Get off my ass.
I'll go get a couple of bounties. I'll be back. This is a fuck up, though. That's the thing. They got to tell you.
As long as I get my ex-wife into jail by Monday, I can give you the other three.
Everything's going to be fine.
But yeah.
That's where
he never once considers I need to pay back my debts.
Never. No.
Mama Fratelli.
And they're like, hey, you need to pay back your money. He's like, I don't have to pay back shit. And it's like, why not? Didn't you fucking lose money?
They're pursuing him.
Yeah.
And he's just like, nah.
Nobody's a good person. There is no one to root for in this movie.
But he doesn't care. He's not like, oh shit, those people are hunting me down for $11,000. Like, he seems to not even like worry that he owes it.
They're a secondary, who cares? I'm concentrating on this bounty thing and finding the crooked cop.
Everybody else seems to be more worried about his gambling debts than he is. Because he's like, well, we have to figure out what's going on with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
And, you know, no, pay your focus should be like hers should be. I think that these people are following me because I think my friend is in trouble because of the suicide story. And then the monkey wrench there is that Mama Fratelli and Sloth and
Sloth,
whoever that other guy is.
Mikey from, and then his brother Brolin there.
Yeah.
He's in
They're hunting him down.
Obviously.
So that's like they're, you know,
and
they're
then
trying
Joe Pantoliano
to pull them in different things. Yeah.
Obviously.
So Jennifer...
my brain was just melting. The jokes are so nonstop.
Yeah.
And so grating that I wanted to fucking stop this movie and watch a movie about a kid with cancer just to balance myself out, because I couldn't take it anymore.
No, it was pretty bad.
A really sad.
They were trying really hard at all times.
That one they made you watch in school in the early 90s about the kid with AIDS. That one. You know,
where he's
so sad.
Song?
No, that's Brian Piccolo from the Bears. Ryan White. White's story.
Yeah.
And the kids are shunning him and he's like, I didn't do anything. It's the saddest thing in the world.
Yeah.
That movie would balance out the... I just needed something that wasn't trying to be happy and phonily happy.
No.
I couldn't take it.
Gerard Butler wants to get more money because he's mad that he lost the $8,000 that he was up. So he handcuffs Jennifer Aniston to the headboard at the hotel in Atlantic City.
Blah, blah, blah.
And then he comes back drunk and he passes out. Jennifer Aniston, of course, was pretending to sleep the whole time. So she wakes up and she tries to figure out like how to get the key so that she can get her handcuffs out.
He puts his gun on his nightstand and she tries to like, she's got to get on the other side. It's physical comedy. Yeah. She's handcuffed to the headboard. She's got to try to climb over him while handcuffed to get the gun, which is on the other side of him.
Yeah.
So obviously she ends up straddling him.
Yeah. So she's straddling him and he's like, are you trying to seduce me? But of course he knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jason Sudeikis is at Mama Fratelli's in the bookie in the Mama Fratelli's bookie database and dumb villain emporium. The bigger guy gets to hit Jason Sudeikis with a golf club and break something, and they're like all laughing, which is what every single bad guy does. They're like,
they find violence hilarious
with a ping.
They're cartoon villains, is what they are. They're like, hey boss, should I hit him with the golf club again? Yeah, right.
Yeah. Which club should I use? I don't know. Just break something. But a maid comes into the hotel room in Atlantic City again. And Jennifer Aniston's like, this is one of those moments where James is like talking about that they're forcing comedy on you.
Yeah.
She's like, I know what this looks like. I bet you what you're wondering why I'm handcuffed. And the maid says, the other room I just cleaned, there was a man in the bathtub full of mayonnaise wearing a dog collar.
Yeah.
And I was like, what happened that day that they were writing that? They're like, I don't know. Just put bath full of mayonnaise.
Random things.
And
what
a dog
that
collar.
That's,
it's like, no one does that.
No.
And not
that's
at
bad
the
comedy writing.
Taj Mahal in Atlantic City.
That someone, this
well, maybe
movie,
they do. I've never been there, so I have no idea.
Yeah, you know what?
Maybe,
it's Atlantic City.
I'm not sure. Report back.
You're right. Atlantic City's a weird place. But this movie feels like most of these movies do.
Yeah.
They wanted to write an action movie. They had an action movie up on the shelf. Nobody's buying these action movies, but they are looking for romantic comedies. So these people who have no comedic talent try to shoehorn in 700 fucking jokes and put a little, you know, romantic twist in it, and then you get this pile of shit. That's what happens with half the movies we watch.
That's exactly what happens.
It feels like it.
Jennifer Aniston escapes. She says that she has to go to the bathroom. She like steals a taser from Gerard Butler's bag.
Yeah.
She tases him in the neck. She escapes. Zadorian sees a glimpse of her in the elevator. He's trying to, you know, chase after her.
And the whole time he's hunting her.
She escapes.
She's hunted by a crooked cop.
A crooked cop.
Hunted.
Who's going to tattoo your eyelids.
Hunted down by a crooked tattoo artist, drug dealing, crooked cop
and
person who's a terrible driver, by the way.
And, you know, he doesn't have that mask anymore. He has no powers from the mask. And,
shit out of luck now.
He's just not a friend of Bruce Willis's anymore.
done.
Everything's
done and done, fuckers.
Everything's looking bad for Zadorian. But anyway, so Jennifer Aniston is looking for a way out of there, and she escapes by getting in one of these, like, pedicabs. The guy driving the pedicab is, like, 17. And very inappropriate to ask to see Jennifer Aniston's boobs as payment.
She said, I don't have any money to pay you. I don't know how I'm going to pay you. And he's like, you could show me your boobs.
Yeah, rude. And it's just like, you know, this is never payment, gentlemen, ladies, okay? Unless you're in a committed relationship and or married. And even still, boob is only entitled if you get a class ring at the drive-in.
That's true. Like we said in the Grease episode. You're
in
right.
The Grease episode. That's when, that's when you get boob, according to James.
Well, if you're given a class ring in the 50s, that's basically a trade-off for boob. Now, what I'm saying is ladies, you should never have to pay with boob. But if you want to pay with
what I mean.
Boob is an accepted form of payment all across this world. It's like Visa, MasterCard, American dollars, gold bullion, and boob. Those are world over. It's
James says
worth
boob funny.
Boob? I could make her laugh with easily. Boob. You know what else?
What?
Poop. See? It's great. See, I get a cackle out of poop. I love it. All right, let's get this shit movie over with.
All right.
Same things happening over and over again. Fuck me.
Okay, Gerard Butler tracks her down.
This thing.
She's crying because she sees a billboard.
She's crying. Her. CPS took her baby.
She's crying because she sees a billboard. Gerard Butler's like, what are you crying about? And then he turns and he sees the billboard and he's emotional. It's for Cupid's Cabin. Oh. What the fuck does that mean? Because they keep bringing up like, hey, buddy, how you doing around this time of year? It's this time of year. Are you okay?
Oh, boy.
And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. The summer is my favorite time of year. So you're like, uh-oh, something happened in between Gerard Butler and Jennifer Aniston. It's like, what the hell is happening?
This relationship has scarred them both emotionally.
We're back to, I've never been emotional over a billboard, but.
Well, they were teary-eyed over.
No, I've been angry about billboards. Yeah. I get mad at some tag. I get mad at some copy on there. Okay.
Political ones sometimes I get mad at.
No, I get mad at the ones that like the copy is really bad.
Oh, yeah,
and you're just or, like really like a groaner.
You get mad at like a poorly done bill. Like, well, that's bad. That's not even worth the money.
My favorite one right now is there's this one here locally in Phoenix where it's Chad doesn't smile until you get paid.
Yeah, it's a lawyer thing. It's just this.
It's just Chad. Chad doesn't smile until you get paid.
He's apparently a lawyer. I don't know. He's got a suit on. He looks very unhappy.
He's never smiling.
Never.
Jennifer Aniston and... Oh, no, no. Back at Mama Fratelli's,
hey.
We inject Jason Sudeikis with the horse tranquilizer. Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler are arguing over whether or not Jennifer Aniston is being followed. Zadorian comes driving up right there.
Answers the argument. At least he settles it.
Yeah. Car chase, gunfight, truck rollover. This is an action movie, everybody. This is a fucking action movie.
Single car accident, gunplay.
You know how R-rated movies, like you have to have like more than one F word and like, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
If there is one car rollover, it is an action movie.
It's an action.
Action fucking movie.
Bruckheimer somewhere strokes himself.
Michael Bay. She says that she thinks that the suicide of that man was not a suicide. She thinks that she's onto something and somebody's chasing her and following her. And she tells Gerard Butler, she's like, well, Bobby signed off on it saying that it was a suicide.
Yeah, Bobby's name's on the police report saying it's a suicide.
Yeah. So Gerard Butler gets mad at her because he's like, he walked you down the aisle. How could you? And then here we go. This is when we're moving into our second plot point. I am going to figure out who that asshole was. I'm going to prove Bobby innocent, and then I'm going to take you to jail.
And he literally says those things just like that.
Here's
and he almost says
do.
Like, and break. Let's do this.
He literally says, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this, this, and this. And then, okay.
Oh, yeah, he's just, those are my goals for the third act is basically what he says. All right,
let's do this.
And lays
then,
it right out.
They go to...
Splays it open like a fucking conquered deer.
They go to like this country club because they find these golf clubs
in the rolled over truck. Yeah.
Truck. And they're like going through everything. And James was like, why didn't he just run the plates? Like,
he's
why didn't
former
he just
cop.
Call it in and like have them run the plates and like figure something out? But instead
that's
they
a
find,
start.
They start to go like a little Scooby-Doo in the gang. They find some golf clubs. They go to this like this
hoity-toity
country club
very
and
upper
this
crust.
Is where Gerard Butler has definitely forgotten how to be a police officer, because instead of saying like, I'm a police officer, I'm looking for a man named whatever, blah blah blah, instead he's like, I am senator of Oklahoma, I used to work with this guy, and
they ask for John. It's a convoluted shit to get to him pretending that he's a fucking senator with a terrible accent.
He should have just said, I'm a police detective. He has a wallet with like a badge in it to show that he's a bounty hunter. All you gotta do is flash that bad boy. Nobody's gonna question
attorney.
It they're not gonna be like, can I look and see like what whatever that is. Say you're an attorney, say you're a police detective,
the name
or
they gave
something
him, John. Gerard Butler's like, oh, I've worked with him for years, and she's like, oh, are you in the Senate as well? He could have said, well, I'm actually one of his attorneys. I'm one of his consultants. I'm one of his advisors. Mm-hmm.
No.
Has to either be a senator or you've never met him before.
No, he's just, yes, hi, hello. I am a senator who is from New York, but I also sound like I am from Scotland. My name is Detective Senator Connery from the great state of Sparta. Ow.
That's how.
Ow.
Detective.
Okay.
Detective.
But even as a Spartan, he would have been better at this.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Okay? Because Leonidas with Xerxes was like, we're going to black out the sun, bitch. We got 300 people and we're not afraid of you. Anywho, I've seen that movie a lot.
I'm going to lie down for a while now.
No senator has, like,
movie anymore.
Does he think, like, oh, yeah, I'm a senator, but it's like, it's the off season, and that's why I have this facial hair?
I got
hair?
Some scruff. I'm wearing,
what
like,
the
a,
hell?
I'm wearing, like, a Target flannel shirt, like, plaid shirt with some khakis.
She says that she's going to go find someone to give her them a tour, and she's like, stay right here. But then she never follows that up. So she's, like, skeptical of them, but, like, None of the security from the golf club like goes to go get them or anything like
There's
that.
There's no security. So police walking, don't do their job.
They're walking around. They see some golf caddies, like, I don't know, eating a sandwich or whatever. And they're like, hi, has anybody ever heard of a man named Earl? And then one of the golf caddies just takes off running.
There's like a 2 second pause.
Not even a pause. They're like, Earl, and then boom.
And all the other caddies are just like, nah, shaking their head. Like, because they're just caddies. If you said you heard Earl and they shake their head, they would have just went, nah, whatever, and walked away.
Yeah.
This guy, rather than even attempting to shake his head, he just stares suspiciously for 2 seconds
and then runs.
Bolts as fast as he can across the fucking, across the fourth green. Like, what the shit is going on?
This is another chase, okay? Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler are driving a golf cart. And he always has to make fun of Jennifer Aniston's driving in some capacity.
Always.
He always has to make a jab that she's a bad driver. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? We're all bad drivers.
This chase, if you've ever seen Reno 911, is exactly like when they're chasing the guy in the big...
Oh, yeah.
The big lemonade guy or the big milkshake guy. Like, that's exactly the same chase. This ridiculous, like, farcical, horseshit chase. That's exactly what it is. That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
They like crash the golf cart.
Oh.
He's like hiding in a divot. Like not a divot. He's hiding in a sand trap.
He's got the silly like caddy outfit. Yeah. Like old timey golfer outfit on.
Yeah. They crash the golf cart and chase him into the lake. And then they're like drowning him. Like to
he's
get
waterboarding
him
essentially.
Yeah, he's waterboarding him. And
to
he's
find
like,
out who Earl is.
This guy, I don't know his last name, and blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, but he used to like tip out $100. And he's like, I'm saving up money for a jet ski. And then he's like, and he also got me this tattoo, which is very clearly a temporary tattoo.
Yeah, it's bad. It looks like
he's like, I got this tattoo. And then they're like, where did you get that tattoo? He's like, at a tattoo place called Blue Ink.
I was depressed because my girlfriend broke up with me, so he sent me there. I was like, wow, that's really a convoluted way to get to that. Holy shit.
And then they look at each other like, we're going to go to Blue Ink and we're going to find Earl. So...
The tattoo looked like a mosaic of Cracker Jack box tattoos. Like if you had a bunch that like made like a Voltron heart. Of one big thing.
It was like a heart, but like an anatomically correct heart.
It wasn't stupid looking.
A little cute little heart.
No.
Anyway, so... They are driving away. They're going. Who knows where they're going? Bobby calls them.
Who cares where they're going?
Bobby calls Gerard Butler, and he's like, you guys need to get off the road because half of New Jersey is looking for you.
Everybody.
And then the other half is looking for Jennifer Aniston.
She's a fugitive.
Why? Why are they looking for her? Why are they looking for Gerard Butler? I understand looking for her because she didn't show up, but like,
they never explain
about Gerard Butler.
They never explain it either. They never explain why they're after, why half of New Jersey is looking for her.
They never explain a lot of things.
They never explain why you should get off the road.
So Gerard Butler is like, you know what? I trust Bobby. So
he walked you down the aisle, for God's sake, Jennifer Aniston.
He walked you down the aisle.
You ungrateful bitch.
And she's like, I don't even know where we are. I do. They're at Cupid's Cabin. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And Cupid's Cabin was the thing on the fucking billboard that they both got all emotional about. They're wondering. They're walking up to the door. They're wondering, like, maybe the couple will remember us. Of course they do. And
they've never seen a couple so in love.
So perfect for each other.
As when they were there.
Tell me, how do you keep the romance alive? And then they start doing this, like, weird, like, tit-for-tat gripes and groans where... Jennifer Aniston says that she's like, she's making like, oh, he thinks an acceptable birthday present is nothing at all. And then,
Like taking it's bad, like sitcom husband wife jabs at each other. I'm like, what's going on? This is the third act.
You guys
You're
need
past
to resolve
this
on your own. We're not part of it.
Resolve this so it's not an hour 50.
Yeah.
Please.
But yeah, anyway, so the longer this movie goes on, the more I want to scrub the baseboards of my house just with a toothbrush or something, because I was just like, there's got to be something.
With my fucking tongue, it would be more enjoyable
more
than this.
Productive to do in my day. But they have dinner at this place. They're wearing like, because their clothes are wet, obviously, because they were in the pond or the lake at the golf course. So they had to... the couple at the Cupid's Cabin is going to do their laundry for them, so they had to just wear whatever was available, which is, of course, the two most ridiculous outfits in the world.
The two silliest outfits they could muster.
And, you know, they're having dinner, and they're both apologizing about being idiots during their marriage, blah, blah, blah. Who fucking cares? The cabin owner brings them champagne. Gerard Butler goes to give the money. He goes to give him like a tip for bringing champagne up, even though he didn't ask for the champagne. And he sees, he goes into Jennifer Aniston's wallet for some reason.
She's got to have a couple bucks in here for a tip,
and
as he says.
Then he sees that she keeps the wedding picture from yesterday in her wallet. this picture looks like they were, it's not like, oh, we, you know, we had like, oh, like this was from obviously, like they tried to Photoshop this where they found like a picture of young Gerard Butler and young Jennifer Aniston. They were like, nope, let's take a fake wedding photo now.
They said, hey, before we go to one and start this scene, we're gonna do the still quick, okay? Let's do the still. It's good. All right.
Very nice.
Still, and let's go.
Say
and
cheese.
And that's yeah. from that close. It's from 20 seconds before
and
he looks at it.
Then it's so insulting because what he does is he sees that she has a picture in her wallet still, and he like pushes the door shut with his foot
on
the
dude's
like,
face.
Like,
no
so
tip for
just,
you.
Oh my god, wow, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, oh, does this mean she loves me? That's his whole thing. Does this mean she's still in love
with
me?
So, Jennifer Aniston goes into the bathroom. They're both, she's talking to her mom on the phone, and he's talking to the lady at Sid's bail bonds thing.
Yeah, that's who he confides
they
in.
They can absolutely both hear each other because they're in the same room, essentially. It's not like, we've been in hotel rooms.
Yeah, you can't have two different phone conversations and not hear either one of them. It's not a fucking 3,000 square foot house.
But anyway, so Jennifer Aniston decides that she wants to let Gerard Butler give her the old brajol. And Gerard Butler decides that he'd like to give her the old brajol.
Yeah, sure.
And,
why not?
And Jennifer Aniston here, she has...
I'll put an accent on and throw one at her. Why not?
She's brought about the nudité in the movie.
Her mom told her to...
Her mom told her to go get naked.
Strip down and go get to business. So I was like,
she said, go
right,
get
mom?
Naked. And James looks at me and he goes, would your mother ever tell you to go get naked? And I was like, no.
Get naked and start get some action or something, she said.
Yeah.
Like, she said some like...
No, my mom would never tell me that.
Move.
No.
Yeah, it was weird.
But anyway, so she overhears, Gerard Butler. Wow, I was having a moment there for a second.
Hey, you
my
know
brain
what?
Went away.
This movie will do that to you.
So Gerard Butler tells Jeff Garland, he's like, yeah, I'm going to bring her to jail on Monday. And he's like, don't worry about it. Like, but I'm still gonna bang her.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
Jesus,
you know,
what are we talking about here?
And so she hears that, and she's very upset. So she just like goes to bed,
blows
out all his candles, and then they're sleeping like right next to each other in bed, very awkwardly. And she gets up, goes and sleeps on the chair. They get their laundry back miraculously. She's handcuffed Gerard Butler to the headboard
without him noticing.
When he was asleep, like he wouldn't wake up.
To handcuffs
and
clicking
then,
around his hands.
Like in your arm, like being lifted up like that.
Yeah, it's dangling off
and
a fucking
then
headboard.
She steals the car and, you know, my, how the tables have turned.
Now she's going to go investigate her some story.
So,
like, here we go again. He's chasing her. She's chasing something
Gerard
else.
Gerard Butler breaks the headboard, so he gets kicked out. I don't know how they got the handcuff off of him, but he gets kicked out.
He was carrying the handcuff. He was one was cuffed to his wrist, and he was carrying the other, the end of it, because they broke it off the headboard.
Oh. So he gets kicked out. He steals a Mercedes from another customer by acting like the valet. And this
park that for you, sir.
This man actually thinks that a man in plaid is a valet.
Who's handcuffed.
Who's
with one handcuff.
No, he didn't have a handcuff
he
on.
He had one handcuff on, and he was holding the undone handcuff in his other hand.
That's right.
And he took his keys and let him in the car with this. It's
Jennifer
okay.
Aniston goes to the Blue Ink Tattoo place.
Everyone, check your valets for active handcuffs first before you
check for
choke on the keys, maybe.
Jennifer Aniston goes to the Blue Ink Tattoo place. She says that she's going to get a huge panther tattoo all down her body. This tattoo parlor is terrifying. It's like a bar / like
place to be raped repeatedly by groups
scary.
Of
but
bikers.
The bathroom
maybe
looked very clean.
The bathroom looks spotless. There was even like a fresh roll of paper towels on a paper towel roller thing, not even just sitting on the counter.
She
very domestic.
Well, they're like, you know what, the bathroom needs to be, everything else can look like the scourge of the earth, but the bathroom, you know, we have standards.
Guys, rape is one thing, but can somebody get in there at some 409 and clean up that fucking ball? I mean, Jesus Christ, it smells like piss in here.
Yeah, this is not cool, guys.
It's terrible.
We can be animals out here, but not in the bathroom.
We can be animals, but come on.
Okay, so she goes to go to the bathroom. I think she just like abandoned her purse in the room.
It just disappears at some point.
Because she's like, I want to get this big panther. And he's like, cancel all of my appointments.
Because she's like, where's the paws are up here, up on my
hair. And he was like, so, like, tattoo people are so desensitized. They're like, okay, like, what do you want? They don't really care.
He gets in and he goes, why don't you, all right, take, lift up your shirt.
Oh, no, grabbing her boobs?
Lift up your shirt so I can see my canvas. That's what he says. And he was like,
yeah. So she goes into the bathroom, but then, like, opens back up, but like nobody sees her or anything like that. And then she goes and runs off and sneaks into Zadorian's office. She sees a picture of Bobby, her and Gerard Butler's
Dave
mutual
Chappelle
friend.
Wasn't
and,
available.
Zadorian, and they're in a bowling league together. So she's like,
Bobby's dirty.
Bobby's a dirty cop.
Dave Chappelle, why'd you run away from your show and now you're dirty cop? I can't take it anymore. What is there to believe in if you can't believe in Dave Chappelle?
If you can't. Then you must not.
You should.
She hears a whimpering, and she goes into this closet where there's the bartender all tied up, just mostly just duct taped.
Just duct taped.
Not like
anything, to a, like a
whatever.
Pipe.
He's just like duct taped in a closet. It's a pretty spacious closet. I mean,
it's not bad.
It wouldn't be my favorite place to be, but I just think that Zadorian is just a really bad, bad guy.
Well, he's a cop. I mean, this is all new to him. He's really not. He's not. Doesn't seem to be a good cop or a good drug dealer. He seems
this is
to
what
be.
Happened when you force it.
Well, you have to commit to something. Yeah. That's the problem. If you're going to be a cop, be a cop. If you're going to be an arch villain, tattoo artist, drug dealer, then you got to do that. And bowling league member. But if you can't serve two masters. That's the problem.
Yeah,
so,
can't.
I mean, this movie proves it, if nothing else.
Gerard Butler shows up at Blue Ink because he knows everything. He knows the bad guys. Because she gets kidnapped by.
Yeah, they chase him.
I don't know what happened. Oh. They were in
we
Gerard
ordered pizza
Butler's
around
cup.
Now and we were literally there's a chunk of this movie where we were eating pizza and I couldn't be bothered. The pizza
so
was way more
she
exciting.
She gets the bartender guy out. The fat guy and then the skinnier guy, they see Gerard Butler's car in the parking lot, so they go in the car because nobody locks their car.
Standing.
Not in New York anymore.
No, you leave your purse with
so
the windows open.
Her and the bartender go to get in the car, and then they're in the back seat pointing guns at them. And so then they say, like, hey, you can get out of here.
They
just
run the
her.
Bar back off.
So they kidnap Jennifer Aniston and.
They
take her to, like, a strip club. Which is, like, in the same parking lot.
Yeah.
And
but not, tied up in the back. They take her, like, to a table.
Yeah.
Sit there.
They're ordering drinks. It's fine.
It's so weird.
So she calls Gerard Butler and is like, you owe $11,000. You have a gambling debt, you asshole, and, like, whatever. So then she gives the phone to one of the hostage people, and they're like, hey, Gerard Butler, like,
kidnappers,
we have your...
better known as hostage people.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote.
Whatever. They didn't really try in this movie. It's fine. They're not even, like, really kidnappers. They're just fucking
hostage
idiots.
People.
But anyway, they're only good at keeping hostages.
They escape.
Else.
They're terrible at it.
Yeah.
They're not very good.
Then he gets on the phone with Gerard Butler, and he's like, we're going to kill your girlfriend, I guess. And he's like, cool, no sweat.
Yeah, knows she's not my girlfriend, click.
He knows what their car looks like, so he shoots it open, steals the money out of the trunk, goes into the strip club, because he knows that she's in there, because
they've referenced this garbage bag full of money in the trunk that belongs to Mama Fratelli.
Yes, it belongs to Mama Fratelli.
They'll be in big trouble if they lose these two idiot gangsters.
So he goes in the strip club, and then he calls, Jennifer Aniston calls him, and he tells her, like, yeah, cool. Tell them I'll be there in 20 minutes. And then he's like, go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So she says, I have to pee. And here's what I have a problem with.
This is a good point.
This was a very good point.
I get it. You want to tell your husband, I have to pee, because then, okay, fine. Like, whatever. With these guys, and especially with the tone of this movie, why didn't she just, like, grab her stomach and then just be like, oh boy, I think I just got my period, like, right now.
She wouldn't even have to be that graphic.
No.
She'd be like, I have to go to the bathroom. I need to go to the bathroom. Lady things. And they would have been like, oh, especially in this movie, the world of this movie, they'd be like, oh, hey, I don't want to touch a tampon. My fingers will burn.
I thought that she should have said that, like, oh boy, I think I just got my period, like literally right now. Do you have a tampon?
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared for this. My period is early. And honestly, if this is day one, it's going to be period shits.
I was going to say, tell him about what you told me about with period shits.
I told James.
Guys, dudes, gentlemen, guys.
Be okay. Nice.
Listen, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I found out, and then other girls told me this too after she told me, because I was like, let me see if this is true. So I asked other trusted people. Women, yeah, apparently, you think
your first
getting
your
period sounds like the worst thing ever, yeah, right, guys? Well, in addition to that, mm-hmm, apparently there's a cacophony of shit that comes along with this that fills the room like an orchestra, apparently, in addition to the period. So
Well,
you know, I don't know. However you want to describe it. This is what's going on, guys.
Not how I described
it. You need to know what's happening. This is what they're doing. It's crazy. They have bad things happening. Be nice to them when this is going on, because that sounds
going through a lot.
That sounds terrible. I don't want that to happen to me.
It's usually the first day, and you always get like a period. Like it's like a period fart, and it's just like you're just like, you know what? I need to be around a reliable bathroom for the rest of the day.
Jesus.
That's
Christ.
All it is that you need to be. So if a girl is like uncomfortable and she's like, no, I just want to stay home. Just be like, you know what? Maybe it's period shits and I'll bring over some Chinese food.
Yeah. Well, good. So bottom line, she should have claimed period shits and this would have been easier.
I'm just saying that would have been funnier. Yeah, she talked about like, oh boy,
this is
if it's day one, I'm going to need to really have some problems here.
This is her third escape, by the way, in this movie, yeah, by saying, I need to go to the bathroom. That no one, like, she tases Gerard Butler when she needs to go to the bathroom. Earlier, she escaped when she needed to go to the bathroom. And then now she's doing this when the tattoo parlor thing. She went, yeah, in the office with the bathroom and now here again, the
she
bathroom.
She retreated
trick.
To the bathroom again.
It's her
and
big
then
trick.
The two, I was really impressed though, because the two thugs were like, wait. She said that he's going to be here in 20 minutes, but yeah, she never told him where.
Yeah, yeah, the fat guy
like,
even.
Oh. No, the guy with the leather kango said it.
He's the smart one.
Well.
That's relative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Gerard Butler is in the middle of the strip club. He's got the garbage bag full of money. He's throwing it everywhere. And so he goes into the bathroom to save Jennifer Aniston, and Jennifer Aniston is grilling him because she's upset at what he said, that what she overheard that
she's
he said.
She's bringing up relationship
which
shit.
Is just, I mean,
they're
honestly,
escaping.
Yeah.
Come on.
Don't, it's not the time.
Cheese dicks. Let's go.
So he says, because she's like, well, you told Jeff Garland that, you know, you're just bragging about getting laid and blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
And he said, what am I supposed to say, that I'm sweet on my girl again, as if it was 1940?
Number one,
who says this? No one. And number two, like, yeah, why not? Why don't you tell people that you're into your ex-wife again? Like,
who cares?
What's the problem with that? Like,
no one cares what you do.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's weird to, like, sit there
especially
and be like,
not
what am I supposed to say? Yeah, like, what do you think Jeff Garland, like, he's got mosquito bites all over his face
at camping
one point.
With his shitty kids. One of them lost a retainer. Yeah, he's got problems.
Yeah, his kids are, like, he's like, this is camping at daddy's work. Like, you know, yeah, like, he's got his own problems. So don't worry about what Jeff Garland thinks about you, because he's not really thinking that much.
No.
Gerard Butler calls the police station and the police officer is like, no, I'm absolutely not supposed to tell you like anything about where Bobby is or anything like that. And Gerard Butler says, are you still into kissing my ass?
That was, he finds another guy to
he called another guy.
Uniform guy, okay, who must have been real like, hey, look
so
at you, Gerard Butler.
He tells him that Bobby is in the evidence depository and they're moving like to a different location. So like they're transporting the evidence.
It's at this moment where the movie is now Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
They're sitting
Gerard Butler tells Jennifer Aniston, he's like, do you know what happens with the evidence that,
yeah, she's explaining the chain of how evidence works.
Yeah,
and,
he's like, once it, like, if the case gets dropped or something like
they
that, then
the
they just keep the evidence. So he is, him and Jennifer Aniston are now casing the evidence depository in the giant blue car that everybody recognizes
and
as his
shot
car,
at and,
he had a black Mercedes.
Which
so
makes
I don't know
no
why
sense.
He didn't just take the black Mercedes, and then that way that's like more stealthy. But
and
it's fine.
This is the exact scene of Axel Foley sitting with the woman, the one they went out there to see, and in the Mercedes outside talking about Barabons and all that, and it was really a bunch of cocaine. Cane and coffee grinds and Parabons and all that shit. It's the same scene.
I understand why they kept that car. That car is the third leading. That's the leading lady. It's the second leading lady. It's the other leading star.
It's the only character you can root for in this whole movie. That's not an asshole.
Zadorian is at this evidence depository. He's just decided, because he does notice that Jennifer Aniston has been there and that the bartender is not under his kidnapped care anymore.
Yeah, he goes trying to find him.
But he's just like, you know what? I'm not going to try to find that. I'm going to go and continue to go and move some of the evidence from the evidence depository.
Yeah.
And Bobby's in there. They both shoot at each other because we...
Shoot out in the evidence room.
Yep, shoot out in the evidence room.
The evidence room, by the way, is some fucking warehouse like 10 miles away from everything. There's
so much evidence in it.
There's one cop that has a police shirt on and jeans. That's the one guy behind the case. He's the guy running the whole... No gun, no belt, no uniform, just a badge with a guy with a shirt on and fucking jeans. Yep. No cameras at the evidence. All of New York City's police evidence is in this one building. There's not a camera in there. None.
And especially when they're trying to transport it to a different facility.
Nothing.
But anyway,
just let people take it in the trunks of their cars. That's how they do it.
We understand that Bobby is like, hey, man, the jig is up. Like, you're not supposed to do this. So you're like, okay, we're not. Bobby's not a bad guy. Like, he's fine. And then so they shoot at each other. Gerard Butler pulls the evidence guy up to the gate and he tells him to buzz me in for tonight.
Buzz me in.
We dine in hell. Okay. So they find somebody laying down. It turns out it's Bobby. Bobby's bleeding.
By the way, an exact Axel Foley wound he has.
Yep.
Shoulder.
Yep.
Shot in the shoulder for setting up another exact Beverly Hills Cop.
This is fucking hilarious. Okay. So Bobby's bleeding, right? You see like a wound, whatever. And he says, who shot you? And Bobby says, Earl Molly. I've been hunting him ever since he killed Walter Lilly. And he had a gun. And no shit. Is that how you got the thing?
Yeah.
First of all, I asked you, who shot you?
Yeah.
And then second of all, you're fucking bleeding. Did I think that somebody harpooned you? No, absolutely not.
Somebody hit you with a zip gun?
And why
did
you give me a first name and a last name of what's going on? It's like, Earl Molly, I didn't hear what it was.
We get it. It's Earl, whatever. Earl.
Oh, the Earl we've been. Who's that, Earl? Can you fill us in, Bobby?
Wait, is it the same Earl or a different Earl? How many Earls are there here?
So Jennifer Aniston has been tasked to stay back with Bobby, but she's never like putting pressure on his wounds.
No, she's just like, it's okay, Bobby.
Standing there, and I guess she's being moral support.
It's gonna be okay, Bobby.
But she decides to
fine.
Zadorian and Gerard Butler are like stalking each other. You know, there's like all these like parallel editing where, you know, it's all shadowy and there's like shelves and like boxes and they both have guns. And then
it's a cheesy final action sequence where they're hunting
and
each other.
They are like
from behind boxes and shit.
Zadorian like comes up behind him and he's got the gun on the back of Gerard Butler's neck and he's like, drop the gun. So he drops the gun. Jennifer Aniston steals a gun from a John Gotti box.
John Gotti's evidence box.
And it's like a fucking shotgun. So and then she shoots off. She just blasts one out, you know, just to kind of scare him. Like, I
warning
will shoot
shot.
You. Yeah. Everybody gets a warning shot. That's how I...
Yeah.
That's how I operate. Everybody
Why would you warning shot this guy?
And, well, she doesn't have good aim. She doesn't report.
It's a shotgun. She's 6 feet away. You don't have to have good aim.
I don't know. I feel like
general direction. That's why the people use shotguns.
Then he tells Gerard Butler, Zadorian says to Gerard Butler, like, you better get your girl. So then she shoots again. Like, don't call. That's for calling
me a girl. That's for calling me a girl.
Yeah. Girl power. We're not girls. We are women.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can shoot a shotgun.
And this is the time to bring
it
up.
Yeah. There we go.
Get the gun off of this guy's head first.
It's not like he's had this whole thing, like the whole movie he's been downplaying or like he used to be your boss.
He's a real misogynist.
There you go, sweetheart. Like, it's just like he's just like at a bowling alley.
Misogyny is the least of his issues, I think. He's a murderer and a drug dealer and a crooked cop. Let's start with all those first.
So Gerard Butler gets in like a fist fight with him. And he doesn't like, they're having a fist fight with their guns, but he's never trying to get the gun out of Zadorian's hand. But so he just like delivers this blow so hard.
He's giving him forearm shivers to the chin until he just knocks him out cold.
And then he just like kicks the gun. So we're just assuming that that's taken care
he's
of. Gerard
done.
Butler has
Zed's
handled
dead.
Business. Zed's dead, baby.
Zed's dead.
Zed's
baby.
Dead.
Zed's dead.
Bobby is now sitting in the back of an ambulance and he's like perfectly healed. He looks like he's been resting up for like 3 months and he's, you know.
Oh, he's Axel Foley at the end when they come. come up when he, the police guy comes up. Foley, what are you doing? And he goes, bleeding, sir.
Because he's lost a lot of blood, so he wouldn't look so fresh as bleeding, a daisy. Sir. But instead,
But it's the exact same dress room. It's like they took the they took the just one bandage
Which
over
is
the shoulder
weird because that wasn't
in good
on the
spirits, making jokes, talking about the case.
That wasn't on like the fun facts. Like they were really trying to pay an homage to them.
It's obvious. It's obvious. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Jason Sudeikis, I completely forgot about him. He calls Jennifer Aniston to break up with her, even though they were never dating.
He's like limping down the street because he's been bashed with a golf club by the thugs.
So now Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler are in the car, and they're talking about that they're going to get back together and all this stuff, none of which we care about. And Jennifer Aniston's like, I just want to write this story. I just want to, you know, get it in and blah, blah, blah. And then we can go. And then Gerard Butler says, yes, we should absolutely do that moving forward with our marriage. We should, you know, not be afraid to let each other put their jobs first. So I looked at James and I went, he's taking her to prison.
Yep.
And so
you know exactly
that.
What's
going to
happen in every scene.
So he does take her to prison. And then he punches a cop outside and he gets locked up with Jennifer Aniston. Like, that's some big romantic gesture.
Because the female and male cells are separated by just a line of bars. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
So, like, you could like totally fuck just through the bars. Yeah. Like, they're
because they make out through the bars.
Yeah.
And then he says, happy anniversary, sweetie. And happy anniversary, everyone. The movie's fucking over.
Thank
the
Lord. Jesus Christ.
I'm fucking done.
Wow, what a pile of shit.
A pile of shit.
That movie sucks. Do you want to find out how much of a pile of shit it is?
Well, how do we measure that, James?
I don't know.
I think we can measure it using our Heigl meter.
To the Heigl meter!
The Heigl meter is our unit of measurement, the way that we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls, 5 Heigls being the worst movie you've ever seen, most punishing. 1 Heigl. Not that bad. Did I go first?
Ladies
first. You want me to go first?
Go first.
Yeah, you know what? Because I'm a girl. Girl power.
Ladies
I learned
first.
That at the end of this movie. Okay, are you
ready? Yeah, clearly.
I am going to give this movie 50,000 Heigls because that was, you know, whatever. And a bounty on every single person in this movie's head.
Oh, I like
50,
it.
50,000 Heigls and a bounty on all their heads.
I like it.
James.
I like where you're coming. Okay, mine, guys, everyone, serious about this.
Friends.
5 Heigls. Now, normally, you know, I would give you a formula. I'd come up with a lot of Heigls and I'd make a big, let's face it. We make light of it and we make jokes about it. But I don't want to trivialize how shitty this movie is. I don't want to trivialize it. This is serious.
Yeah.
And if I make jokes, I'm like, oh, it's not that. 5 capital Heigls. 5 uppercase, capital, top of the mountain, king shit, fucking Mount Rushmore Heigls.
5 of
There's
them.
There's 4 there, but still.
5.
5.
Okay.
Solid 5. No fucking around. It's terrible. Avoid
it's
this
5.
Movie at all costs. If someone says, can I fucking snap your femur with a golf club, or would you like to watch The Bounty Hunter. You pick that golf club every fucking time.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, James.
5 Heigls.
If you want to let us know how many Heigls you give the movie, you can follow us on social media. We're at Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at You Got Heigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD. And also, we do bonus episodes on Patreon every other week.
We're in the middle of a 90-day fiancé
recap.
Ooh, it's fun.
And we thought that we would be able to get it kind of over with in like an hour.
No.
We just realized that we had so much to talk about.
We didn't get to Big Ed and Rose in the Philippines. We didn't get to
this
baby
season.
Girl Lisa. We got no baby girl Lisa. So we got to get to baby girl Lisa.
That's for you, TJ.
We got to get to the two guys who got ghosted. We got to get to the whole thing.
Yeah,
there's
a lot
to get to. That's next week, though.
That's next week.
Definitely. Big bonus episode.
Our bonus episodes, we play games like Plotsy, where I show James pictures of movies that he's never seen before, and he has
posters.
Guessed what happens in the movie.
Spoiler alert, I'm not very good at it.
No, he thinks that people get stabbed or there's like a lot of violence in them.
It
so
happens.
If you want to hear that, that's good. Or also, we updated some movies like You've Got Mail and Blast from the Past. So like what it would be like if it took place in present day.
All sorts of stuff.
If you want stuff like that, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/YouGotHeigled. And also, we have a PayPal at you yougotheigled at gmail.com. Again, that's YOUGOTHEIGLD.
Absolutely.
If you want to find me on, you know, social media, on Twitter or Instagram, I'm at Sarah H is funny, S-A-R-A-H-H is funny. And I wrote two books. If you want to hear me rant and rave about food and bullshit bathroom policies. Like,
period shits and all. That's not in the book.
No, I don't talk about period
shits. She's saving that for volume three.
Yeah. No. That's for the cookbook.
Yeah, yeah.
No. If you want to find that, you can go on Amazon. It's Small Potatoes. I have two books on there. And yeah, James.
You can find me at Jimmy P is Funny, or you can just copy and paste my name from the show description. Make it easy on yourself. Do it that way. And if you want to hear more, you can do that very easily. You can hear an ass load of me if you want. You can hear me every Tuesday on Crime and Sports and every Thursday on the Small Town Murder Podcast. Please come and listen and do all that.
You can have James in your ear holes.
All up in your ear holes. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us.
Yes, thank you. So last week, I forgot to do the shout outs because I am dumb. I got so excited about Mr. Wright, and how much I hated it. So we have a bunch.
Please, rack them. Let's see what we got.
All right. We've got Kyle Blaze, Ashley Hake. I don't know.
Thank you.
Again, I have no idea, you guys, because I've only seen it written down. I've never heard it said out loud.
Yeah.
Jessica Stewart, Jamie Trenda, Filming You In Podcast, Ross Rochester, Kristen Kostra, Lily Whitaker, Kayla, no last name, Victoria Gabay?
Yeah,
Kelly Walsh, Estevez Jones's personal assistant.
Hey, it's my favorite.
Let me tell you, I've been trying to figure out.
He needs
who
one.
You are.
He needs one, and he needs one bad. So that's
I want to know which of our listeners you are.
I love
it. Figure it out, and I'm going to put together a little. I don't even know.
Motherfucker.
Christina Tatone, Miguel Moreno, Don Doyle, Thomas King, Maggie. Kokoska. Chrissy McDonald, Gert-Jan von Kempen, Neely Niels, Stacey Nielsen, Candace Kennedy, Sarah Hines, Matthew Vanderford, Kara Herwig, Dana Campbell, Julie Hitchcock, Taylor
very low to the ground.
Brianna, no last name, John Wyckoff, Bonnie Southard? I have no idea.
Okay.
Madison Flat, Natalie J. Bercio, Elizabeth Moore. And we had Daryl Learman, I think it's Learman, he donated on Patreon.
Well, thank you.
And
everybody. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. We appreciate it. We're going to work hard to find really cool shit to put on Patreon for bonus stuff for you guys. So thank you for participating.
And honestly, we have so much fun. This is what we do all the time whenever we're watching movies. And everybody always says that it would be fun to watch movies with us. But I mean, this is literally what we're doing. We're constantly going back and forth with stupid stuff.
We have to pause it a lot. It's annoying.
We have to pause it a lot. It's super annoying. And yeah, so thank you guys much for hanging out with us this week.
Definitely. Yeah. That's it. Go
That's
home.
That's it, you guys. Go Heigl yourselves.
Go Heigl yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.